This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, you got the NBA Cup going on, Bebe. You got 13-0 versus a team that is not 13-0. But can they turn it into 14-0 to talk all things Cavaliers of Cleveland.com? Welcome on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Chris Fedor. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Which part of this, Chris, do you think that the Bulls want to spoil more? The NBA Cup game one of that, or the fact that the Cavs are 13-0?
Yeah, I think it's the fact that the Cavs are 13-0. And I think that's something that they're going to have to deal with here during this entire streak. And it can be mentally and physically exhausting to play these November games and get the best shot from the opposing team. It's just a different kind of grind that the Cavs are trying to navigate here because everybody is going to be gunning for them, Chicago included. Everybody wants to be the team that ends the Cavs streak and hands the Cavs their first loss.
Everyone, really?
It sounds like you're saying that teams around the NBA really want to be the team that break the streak.
Good luck being on the side of a Nick Wilson argument, okay? That's the side you're currently living on.
The side of truth.
I mean, what do you disagree with here, Jonathan? These guys are competitors, ultra-competitive, and they want to spoil somebody's opportunity at history. Of course they do.
I don't know that Kobe White woke up today and was like, yeah, my chance to spoil the Cavs 13-0 run. I just don't think he looked at it that way.
Is it the first thing that he thinks about when he wakes up? No, but when they start playing the game, that's more meaningful than just another win in November for a team like Chicago.
This is an NBA Cup win here, Chris. Come on. Let's put some respect on the cup.
Not everybody has aspirations for the NBA Cup. Not everybody's aspirations are the same.
So with the NBA Cup thing, obviously this is year two. We've already got 15 think pieces on how to fix or save the NBA Cup. I don't want to say how much emphasis, but how much does this really matter to any of these players to this point?
Well, I think it depends. The first year that they had the NBA Cup, there was more of a point of emphasis on it, and guys took it more seriously. And I think part of the reason for that is LeBron led the charge in that. He was somebody who was very, very vocal, and he was public about how much he wanted to win the first NBA Cup, because you have an opportunity to be the first at something. I don't know what it's going to continue to be as we move forward. But I can tell you, you know, being involved with these particular games, it has given a little bit more magnitude to some of these games in November. It has given a little bit more competition to some of these games in November. And you can feel when you're in an arena and it's an NBA Cup game and there are just different stakes, you can feel a different level of intensity. It's certainly not playoff level basketball. That can't be replicated, and it's not going to be replicated by the NBA Cup. But there is a different level of passion. There's a different level of competition. There's a different level of strategy from coaches. There's a different level of intensity when it comes to NBA Cup games. So I do think it is meaningful for these guys, and I do think they treat it as meaningful.
Yesterday, Chris, we got in a discussion about Kobe Altman, and I said the inaction this offseason was action to me. I felt like in running it back with the core four, when everyone was telling you, break up the two guards, break up the two bigs, do something, that alone, him staying with the course, the thing that he built, that deserved credit. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. And I think people have to understand, anybody that wanted them to make a significant shakeup to the roster, they would have been trading players at below market value. So it's really easy to sit there and say, well, you know, trade Darius, trade Jared Allen. Okay, what were the offers that the Cavs were getting? And I think at the end of the day, there was nothing that they received in terms of an offer that made enough sense for them to shake up the roster drastically. And I think it's easier for an organization to just push a panic button and say, all right, we're going to start sending away some of this talent and make those changes. I think what they did were they were calm. They took an honest assessment of the roster, and they said everything this offseason about basically in blinking lights, we had a coaching problem last year. Like, we believe that a new coach with a new system, with a new offense, is going to get more out of Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell together, is going to find a way to make the Jared Allen, Evan Mobley thing work better, is going to find a way to get the most out of this talent that we assembled here. And I think anytime you have guys that are young, talented, and under contract, you have to be really, really careful about pushing that button of we're just going to break it up, because there's no guarantee that the talent that you're going to get back, either in a trade or in a draft pick in the future, is going to be as good, as effective, and as successful as the talent that you already had in place. And I don't think they had to act out of desperation, given the fact that they made back-to-back playoff appearances and they did advance to the Eastern Conference semifinals. So I think they took the right approach that they needed to, and I think it's validated by this start that they've had.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com and the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Darius Garland's been pretty good this year. Not sure if I'm breaking any headlines here. Is this level of Darius Garland here to stay?
Well, I think anytime you have a guy who has a specific career arc, and then there's this outlier season that doesn't make a lot of sense, you have to start asking yourself, okay, like, what happened there? What are the reasons behind it? And the thing that I continued to say this offseason, guys, was there were logical explanations for Darius not performing to the level that he believed he was capable of, that the Cavs believed he was capable of, and that the Cavs were, quite frankly, paying him. And it's because he was dealing with a whole bunch of stuff, both on and off the court. So that, to me, said that last year was an outlier for Darius. And I think the real question was, okay, like, he was going to be better because he wasn't dealing with a fractured jaw, because he wasn't dealing with the death of his grandma, because he was more joyful when he returned to camp. So he was going to be better, but how much better was he going to be? And this has been all-star level Darius Garland, the guy who was the face of the franchise before Donovan Mitchell arrived, the guy who was playing at an all-star level and was one of the best young point guards in the NBA before Donovan arrived. So to get him back to this level, that is a significant thing for the Cavs, because, again, I think there were logical reasons to explain last year, but the question was, like, how much better was he going to be, and how much of an impact was that going to make on the Cavs moving forward? When Darius plays like an all-star and it takes pressure off of Donovan offensively and he doesn't have to do as much, and Darius is competing his butt off on the defensive end of the floor, it just changes the complexion of this franchise. Like, the two big pinch points for this organization coming into this year were Darius Garland and Evan Mobley. And both those guys have taken the leap that the Cavs needed them to take to change the trajectory of this organization and to change their ceiling for this particular season.
Donovan's credited Pilates, which I think is interesting. He's also mentioned how he is not 22. He's closer to 34 than he is 22. And he's got all these little, like, there's an awareness with his body, Chris. Did you see this previously with him? And obviously that's played into his minutes as well. He seems like he's playing fantastic basketball right now.
I just think there is a step that Donovan has taken from a maturity standpoint and a leadership standpoint. And, you know, when he was assessing himself this past offseason in terms of what's my next step, he wasn't looking for where my next step was. Like, do I need to go to Brooklyn? Do I need to go to New York? Do I need to go to Miami? Do I need to go to Los Angeles? Like, he believed going back to January that this is where he needed to be. This was the best place for him, and this is where he was going to be. So So if he was committed to that, he started asking himself a question of, okay, what's my next step as a player? And I think what Donovan has done, Donovan has taken a step back so that other guys can step forward. And I think that takes maturity. I think that takes a winning attitude. And I think it takes a level of selflessness that you need from your leader. Going into the game the other night against Philadelphia, Donovan Mitchell was third on the team in touches. Third. It's Donovan Mitchell. He's one of the best players in the NBA. He's an MVP candidate. But he knows the importance of Darius Garland. He knows the importance of Evan Mobley. And he's trying to elevate those guys. He's trying to empower those guys. And sometimes that means take a step back from a usage standpoint. Sometimes that means take a step back from a shot standpoint. Sometimes that means focusing more on defense or rebounding or getting other teammates involved by passing the ball. It doesn't mean that he's not capable of scoring 30. He can, and he's going to have those nights. He had it the other night against Chicago, and he put his imprint in the game from a scoring standpoint late against Philadelphia. Like, he's always going to be capable of those kinds of things. But he understands for him to win at the highest level, and that's ultimately all he cares about at this point in his career. He needs to empower his teammates. He needs to elevate his teammates. He needs other guys to help him get to the conference finals, the NBA finals. And he has taken a step back. He has taken on a different role within this offense so that the team can be better for it. And I think he deserves a ton of credit for that.
Chris, the last three games, the Cavaliers are 10th and 11th in offensive and defensive efficiency, whereas the first 10 games, you saw them, they were first in offense, historically first in offense. I think it was something like fifth or sixth defensively. I know three games is a small sample size, but so is 13. Is this a sign that the Cavs just aren't playing their best basketball? And if so, what?
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What should we make of that?
Well, I think a couple of things have happened. Number one, Jared Allen is dealing with a little bit of an issue health-wise. Sam Merrill has been out, and he hasn't been as effective because he's been dealing with a sore ankle. They're doing all of this, by the way, without the guy who was supposed to be the fifth starter in Max Strus. But I think they're mentally exhausted. I think they're physically exhausted. And they're about to play their 14th game in 25 nights. That is unheard of in the NBA. And I think it has taken a toll on them. I also think, like, even the lesser opponents that they're playing against, they want to beat them. I'm sorry, Jonathan, but they do. They're playing to a different kind of level when they see the Cavs on the schedule. They have become the hunted, and they're getting other teams' best shots. And the level of intensity in some of these games, the level of desire in some of these games is higher than what it normally would be for mid-November. It just is when you see the Cavs on the schedule. So I think all of those things combined with the fact that, you know, Evan has kind of taken a step back in terms of the offense. They need to continue to be focused on keeping him involved. I think more people have an understanding of what the Cavs want to do on the offensive end. Like, early on in the season, it was very, very different, and I think it caught teams off guard. But now I think teams are starting to adjust and starting to have a better understanding of some of these things that the Cavs want to do at both ends of the floor. There's more film on a lot of these guys and some of the sets that they're running. So I think all of that combined points to what you've seen. And I also think, you know, when you start as great as the Cavs did at both ends of the floor, I think natural regression was going to happen at some point. Even though I think a lot of people believed coming into this year that they were a really good basketball team and they probably could be a contender in the Eastern Conference. Nobody saw this. Nobody saw them being like Boston of last year or the dynastic Golden State Warriors of 4 years straight where they were going to the NBA Finals. They were just like throttling teams. So I think there was some natural regression that was going to kick in because if we're being honest, they were playing over their heads at the beginning of the year.
Well, Chris, there's a reason why I only go to Cleveland.com and your coverage when I want to hear about Cavs stuff. But I did find my way over to a national publication. David Aldridge has been around the NBA for a long time, as you know. He's got a new Cavs criticism. I had a big article today about whether or not the Cavs are too nice. Do you feel like the Cavs are too nice?
I don't. He was actually asking players in the locker room the other night following the game against the 76ers about, like, who is the meanest player on the roster, who is the biggest a-hole on this roster, and a lot of the guys were having fun responding to that.
Yeah, Garland said Max Strus.
Isaac Okoro wanted more votes than what he got. I think there was a reputation that the Cavs had to shake. I do. I think coming into this year, they were looked at as not the toughest team. Not the most physical team, which was kind of strange because they were such a good defensive team and they were top 10 in defense for three straight years under J.B. Bickerstaff. But even with that, like, they weren't viewed as bullies. They were viewed as a team that we could physically overmatch. They were viewed as a team that wasn't the toughest team that we could get under the skin of and things like that. So I do think coming into this year, they did have that type of reputation from other people around the league. But I never bought into that fully. I didn't. And I think they have enough tough guys. I think they have enough competitive guys. I think they have enough tough-minded mentally guys. And I just don't fully buy into that. And I think, you know, part of what you have to do as an NBA player is you have to be true to yourself. Like, Evan Mobley's not going to be Kevin Garnett in terms of his passion and his fire. That's just not who he is, right? But it still doesn't mean that he can't be an elite player or one of the best players in the NBA. So I think at this point, when you're 13-0, people are going to look for different things to criticize and different things that are going to prevent you from reaching your goals or something like that. If the Cavs don't win a championship, I don't think near the top of my list is going to be they're too nice of guys or something like that.
Will the Cavs be playing for the NBA Cup? Tell us now. I need the prediction.
Yo, so like they there is an opportunity here.
I'm excited.
So I could be in Vegas in December, of course. Who's not going to be excited about that? Boston the other night losing against Atlanta like creates a pathway for the Cavs to get to Vegas and, you know, be really, really competitive when it comes to this NBA Cup thing. Because when the groups were released and whatnot, everybody's like, well, Boston's going to win that group. But they've already got one loss, and it was against Atlanta. So I think the opportunity is there for the Cavs because, you know, Boston slipped up against Atlanta. And one loss in Cup play, based on what we've seen in the past with some of these tiebreakers in place and stuff like that. Yeah, I think the Cavs can definitely be competitive in this thing, and I think they're going to have a shot. Look, if there's one thing that we have seen from the Cavs, it's that I don't think this 13-0, like, I don't think they're as good as what they've shown. 13-0 with the best point differential in the entire NBA, or at least in the Eastern Conference, I should say. But like, this is a really good basketball team, and what has happened here in the early going, it's not a mirage, and it's not a fluke. I don't know that they're Boston. I don't think they're on the same level as Boston, but they're pretty damn good, and that's a really, really good place to be. So whether it's the NBA Cup or getting to the conference finals, I think those are real possibilities for this team because I think they have proven to be one of the best teams in the entire league.
I got to say, you almost got cup dated there because that was a hell of a cup date, but we don't have time to play the open, so thank you for your analysis. Enjoy the rest of the winning streak, which I expect to be 25 games.
Wow. Do you realize the teams that they have to beat to get to 25? Have you looked ahead to the schedule like I have? They got to beat Boston twice.
Yep, nope.
They've got to beat the Denver Nuggets.
Not doing that.
And they've got to go to Miami.
Don't care.
Go to Miami, where they never win, and beat the Heat for number 25.
Yeah,
think about that.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to do it. That's all I heard. Chris, we got to run, buddy.
Right, exactly. See you later.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com and the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We got to respond to his cup date and more next on 92.3 The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.